Well, I'm going to get started just as where we kind of left off. And this has been our foundational scripture that I've been sharing from for the last several, few, many weeks. I don't know how many. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And I'll just read just here. Every scripture is God-breathed, is given by His inspiration. Every scripture. Every word contained in this book is profitable to you. Every word, every jot and every tittle, it says, was God-inspired. Even when you read of in the Old Testament about bloodlines and ancestry and heredity, I don't know what word I'm looking for. You know, all them people down the line, there's something to be taken from of that. There's information there. And so I hope that you take your study time in the Bible seriously. And I hope you read. I hope you read your Bible. How many have been in Romans? Are you still in Romans? Is anybody still reading in Romans? I'm telling you, you could spend a long time in Romans. You could chew on Romans for a long time. And I hope you do, and I hope you are. But every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration and profitable for instruction. We can receive instruction from it, for reproof, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, for discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, that is, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. Every thought, every purpose in your life, and every action that you do can be used for training, or training, you're trained and righteous for those things. So that why? The man of God may be complete and proficient. Complete, nothing missing, nothing broken, proficient. That means that you don't have to struggle with it. You're proficient in it, right? So if you, for instance, if you've been on the job for a long time, if you're an assembly line worker, and you've been doing that for a long time, and you know, and that part, you know exactly how to do it, you can do it fast, right? If you're a painter, and you've been painting for 30 plus 40 years, you can paint a lot more proficiently than someone doing it for the first time. Right? You could, it's just you get proficient at it. The more you do it, the more proficient you get. The more you read this word, the more proficient you will get. Why? So that you are well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. The word provides everything we need to perform good works. It does. The word provides everything that we need to perform good works. Last week we talked about how our faith honors God and our faith performs works when we believe what He says. But more importantly, and well, I don't say more importantly because it goes right along with that, when we do what He says. First we have to believe it, and then we have to do it. And that word do, it takes action on our part, doesn't it? It takes some action, just like Shirley shared it. In our prayer time this morning, how she went and met this lady and just started talking to her. She was there for some other particular purpose, but the conversation went over to the spiritual realm and asked a simple question, where do you go to church? Just, you know, hey, just conversation. I'm here for something else, but hey, by the way, where do you go to church? Well, we go here, but, you know, don't necessarily like, well, hey, I go here. Why don't you come try us out? But not just to get them to come to church, but just to have a conversation about God. Amen. Right? Yeah. That's action. That's doing. What is it? In another place in Timothy, he says, preach the word. Preach the gospel. He urges us. He stresses the point of preaching the gospel. We're to be ready in season and out of season. That was an out of season time, I would think. It wasn't a meeting. It wasn't a Bible study. It was just somewhere out in the marketplace. And the gospel was presented. an invitation was given, and I believe was accepted and received. And that's what we all need to be doing, don't we? We make it so much harder than it is. We do. Listen, discipleship, we have to be discipled. I believe we all are studying and growing. Jesus even grew in stature and wisdom. We all need to be growing in stature and wisdom. We need to be understanding who we are in Christ and growing in that on a every day, daily, right? Daily. We need to be doing that. We need to be growing. We need to be discipled. But then there comes a point, I believe, in our life where we need to be discipling others. And that doesn't have to be some formal class setting. That can just be through relationship, through our conversation with people every day, every day, wherever we are, wherever we go. We need to be doing that. Amen? You know, James talked about it. We shared last week, too, about our faith without works being dead. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement in my mind. Especially from a church, a faith church, where we profess to be faith people. But when James says faith without works is dead, man, I don't want dead faith. I want to do what the Word says. I want to believe what the Word says. I want to do what the Word says. And he says that faith without works is dead. Then we looked at, and I'm going to read Luke 13. Read out of Luke 13. I guess today is more of a teaching day. I believe. I believe there's a time coming on the earth, and it won't be long, that there'll be a move of the Spirit of God. It will not be forced, but it will come easy. It'll seem natural. In fact, I read a quote from Smith Wigglesworth just yesterday, I think it was, where he prophesied about a time coming on the earth when the Word of God, and I'm paraphrasing, will mesh or match up with the Spirit of God. And there will be such a move of God in the earth like it's never been seen before. And when you take that to Scripture where it says we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth being the Word. Spirit being the Holy Spirit. And when those two come together and we worship Him in truth and in spirit, I believe it'll usher in a time, and it has to, it must. Listen, we're studying the book of Revelation now on Wednesday nights, and it has to usher in a time where there is going to be such a tremendous harvest of souls into the kingdom of God. And I believe that this move that we're talking about, we'll call it a move, but this time that we're talking about, where the Word and the Spirit come together, is going to be so powerful. And don't you want to be in the middle of it? Don't you want to participate in that? And that took me right back to what I believe was a word from the Lord about Christian Growth Center being the epicenter of something in the New River Valley. The epicenter being the starting point and it going out. I think we need to keep our faith there for that. There's a time. Brother Hagin talked about, you know, and I can't remember exactly, but the waves of God that have come over the earth to this point, you know, faith. And somebody help me out if you remember the other two. But he talked about, I think it was a fourth wave or maybe third. I don't know. Is it third or fourth? Somebody help me. But he talked about that being a combination of all those waves together coming on the earth and doing damage to the enemy, I believe. We need to keep our faith up for that. You know, it's easy to go throughout our daily routines, isn't it? And just kind of let that take a back seat in our mind, or even our, hopefully not our hearts, but we need to keep our faith out there for that. A mighty move of God. We need to be believing. Otherwise, why are we coming together, people? Why do you come here every Sunday? You must believe something, right? Hopefully as I do. But what are we doing with that? We have to believe and then do. Are you at Luke 13 yet? Verse 10. It says, now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman there who for 18 years had an infirmity caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. And there was a, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are released from your infirmity. Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was made straight, and she recognized and thanked and praised God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. So come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord replied to him, saying, you play actors, you hypocrites. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? You know, there's a couple interesting things that I draw from that scripture. One, what did they call her healing? They called it a work. A work. Ought you not work 6 days and on the Sabbath not work? What was the work that he was doing? He was healing that woman. Healing that woman. Another thing I draw from that is her condition was caused by a spirit of infirmity. It was spiritual. There was a demonic influence or attack on her body, her physical body. A spirit was manifesting itself physically in her body where she couldn't bend upright. She couldn't stand upright. And then something else that I draw there, who was she bound by? Satan. It wasn't her own mind. Satan was binding her with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. But when you reference what Jesus came to do back in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. These are the works that Jesus was sent to do. Heal, set free, deliver. Bring freedom in every area of our life. These are his works. And these are the works that we're to do. Are we not? In John 14, he says that we'll do greater works. Says Philip in verse 8, John 14, 8 says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The Father that dwelleth in us, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Sometimes when we witness to people, our words will witness to them. But sometimes our deeds will witness to them. Aren't we visual people, right? I'm a visual learner. I mean, I am a very visual. Nikki's a very visual learner, right? How much more impact would it be if you were to go into the marketplace, lay hands on someone, pray for them, they be healed of whatever their, whether it be a spirit of infirmity, right? They be healed of it, and onlookers see that. Versus you just telling them about Jesus. I believe that this is the point that the body of Christ has got to get to. And we've got to get over our pride. We've got to get over our fear. We've got to get over all that to present the gospel in a way that this world that we live in now and today is going to stand up and take notice. Amen? Throughout the Gospels, it describes the wonderful works of Jesus, the mighty works of Jesus, the good works of Jesus, and they're all talking about the same thing: healings, deliverance, and hope. There's always hope. You know, we need to minister hope to people. You know, it sometimes seems that we live in such a hopeless world, and yeah, I know you come across people every day that, you know, they've lost hope in a certain area of their life. You know, whether it's wayward children or family members or health or in their finances or something, right? Relationships. Marital relationships. My goodness. You know, I heard some news this morning and it just prompted me again how I believe outside of the Word of God that can I say that? I want to say every issue comes down to the family unit. I mean, even take the issue which is very hot in today's society of abortion. I mean, if people had a revelation of the sanctity of marriage, they wouldn't have, you know, premarital sex. They wouldn't be getting pregnant. They wouldn't feel like they had to abort, or they wouldn't understand the sanctity of life. Family unit. Drugs and even if parents stay together, if it's not a healthy relationship, issues pile up. The family unit is so important. It really is. So important. And that's why, I mean, our hearts have always been for like Family Life and their ministry, the Art of Marriage, what they do to minister to marriages. Because it really, truly, I mean, it started in the garden, didn't it? With Adam and Eve coming together. That was the source, the start of it. That was the pattern that was to be carried out. And that pattern gets broken, and as a result, lives get broken, and not that they can't be restored. They can. But man, if we could just get it right the first time. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus came to do. Those were the works he came to do. That sounds like abundant life to me, doesn't it? To you? He came, Jesus, the Christ, the one whom we celebrate and remember and exalt. He's the only one worthy. He came, shed his blood, performed these mighty works of God. He put to action everything that God said. Right? He said, I only do what I see the Father do, only say what I hear the Father say. He put to action what God was saying to him. Well, God's speaking to us right here in this word. He's speaking to us in our heart through the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells on the inside of us. He's speaking to you every day and me, and we need to put him to action. What he's saying, we do. It's important. It's important to do what we hear in our spirit. And Steve, I think this would be a good time for you to give that testimony of, because I believe that's what happened. I believe you heard and you did. How do we overcome? Blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Hello. I haven't been up here in a long time.
That's all right.
Everybody close their eyes. Start worshiping God.
Yes.
Right now. You can pray in tongues. You can pray in English. But open your mind up and your heart up to God right now. Start worshiping with your mouth. Worship Him. Give Him your heart. Give Him everything. Everything, Father God. Everything right now. I know this is hard for you, but you can do it. You can do it. Everybody in here can do it. Everybody in here can do it. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I praise your name and I give you the glory and honor and praise right now, Father God. You can pray in the Spirit. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get in touch with God. Get in touch with God. The telephone is ringing. Pick up the phone. That's what happened to me. Telephone was ringing. I picked up the phone. I'm nobody special. Just average painter. That's all I do. Was paint most of my life. My neighbor, I'll give you that testimony. You know that testimony. Mike, he's behind us. Real nice guy. First time I met him. You won't believe this. I was on a lawnmower riding. That's where I get most of my hearing from God, on the lawnmower of all places. So I'm on a lawnmower riding. And the phone began to ring. Ring. You need to pick up the phone, Steve. But I'm on a lawnmower right now. You need to pick up the phone. I looked across the way, and I got a pretty good-sized yard. And Mike was coming across with a piece of paper in his hand. He's coming across there, and he said, "Hey, guys, now, I wonder what this guy wants." So I'm still on the lawnmower. I'm still on the lawnmower. Didn't get off the lawnmower. Just stopped the lawnmower. He comes up to me. He said, "I just wanted to share," but before he got there, the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Lay hands on him, he's sick." And I said, "Lord, I don't know him from nowhere." He said, "Lay hands on him, he's sick." I said, "Okay." As soon as he got over there, Mike was giving me what he was telling me about a car show and everything. I said, "Brother," I said, "I don't know about this car show, but I said, the Lord told me to lay hands on you. And you will recover." And his eyes got that big. I laid hands on him. I never got off the lawnmower. Now picture this. Sitting in the middle of a field, sitting on a lawnmower. I cut it off. He comes over, I lay hands on him, and I'm telling you, the power of God shot through me. It went up his body and down. And he's... I've never seen that before. It was some power. And I said, Lord, what in the world was this? And the power of God shot through me and shot through him and went up his head down the spine. He said, I ain't never felt nothing like this. What's going on? What is this? I said, it's the power of God. So, I knew nothing about his sickness. And I said, that's cool, man. We just left. And I said, I just need to pray for you. And I said, got back on the lawnmower. I'm just sitting there boo-hooing, driving all over the place, thinking about that issue. About 3 weeks later, maybe less, we meet on lawnmowers again. He was on his lawnmower, and I was on my lawnmower. Must be something special about that lawnmower. That's all I got to say. If y'all want to ride that lawnmower, come over to the house.
Mow the grass.
You're going to hear from God. So we meet, and we're talking. He said, you know what, brother? He said, remember that day you prayed for me? He said, my doctor said, I only had half a brain. That's what he told me. He said, I hadn't been able to work. His brain had a tumor that big. It went down to that. Just like that. I said, wow. You know. So he said, I don't know what's going on. I said, I do. And see, he's been raised in a Pentecostal church. He's got Jewish relatives. He's got all kind of people around him that serves God. And it's all that, but he is straight away from church. Straight away. And I said, cool, bro. I said, I didn't know. But that tumor went down from this to this. He says, man, it's just unreal. So we went back to mowing grass. So, because that's all I did there for a while was mow grass. Another day I met with him on the lawnmower. He said, brother, I need a job. He said, I'm ready to go back to work. I said, I need a job too. So, he said, maybe we could pray about this job. I said, maybe we will. So I prayed about that job with him. 2 weeks later, he come back. He got a job at Volvo. But not only that, he got the job that he wanted. He got first shift. The job that he wanted was so hard to get. So my whole point is, I'm nobody. But I listened to the voice of God. I listened to it. I trained myself, or tried to train myself, to hear God's voice. I don't always get it right. You can't be in fear to lay hands on people. You're going to make a mistake. It's going to happen. You're going to pray for people and nothing's going to happen. See, miracles is instantaneous. But when you pray for people, sometimes it happens slowly, and they get restored slowly. I got another testimony if you got time to hear it. We recently was called from Florida, a friend. And her name is Lou, and she lives by herself, and we're good friends with her, and she's older. And she said, she was boo-hooing. I mean boo-hooing. Falling apart at the seams. And so Shirley, just talking to her, And she said that the doctor said she's got a bad heart. And she can't do anything. And she's moving out of her house to another house at the same time. She said, I don't know how I'm going to get moved out of this house and get it painted and move over to this other place. So immediately the Lord spoke to me. He said, go to Florida, help her with that house. I said, all right. And I didn't have the money to do it. We just went. You know, it's no big deal. So, but before we did that, we prayed for her about that heart condition. And we believed that she was healed right then, over the phone. So we go anyway. We painted her house. We moved all of her stuff in for her. And then we went with her to the hospital. This is where it gets interesting. So we go in. She goes in for her test. They run a, you know, a scope. What's that called? Ding.
Catheterization.
Well, you know, doc. That's loud there. Keep it right here because I'm loud anyway. You know, the doctors know everything. They're going to tell you they know everything and this and that. And that's cool. You know, I believe doctors are good. Most of us would be dead because we don't have enough faith to believe. That's what I believe, if it wasn't for the doctors. So amen to that. But we go in. She has the catheterization. We pray for her with her again. She's real nervous. They did it. It was done in 20 minutes. He come back to her and he says, I don't know what's wrong. He said, you got a perfect heart. I don't know. What does the doctor say, Gene? You know what they want to say. Well, we got it wrong. We didn't get it right. But they told her 3 days before that, you better take it easy because you're going to drop dead. 3 days. You're going to drop dead. But now you haven't heard the best of it. Her whole family was there. So we're in the hospital, you know, in the heart area. You know, I've not been in a hospital very much myself. One time for something. And then we said, let's pray. So Shirley and I, we started praying. Oh, I'm sorry. Her sister, she had two sisters there. Well, one of them was real mouthy the whole time there. They were mouthy. I mean, they just tell me this, tell me that, and I'm listening to them. I said, oh, God, here we go. Mouthy little squirt about that tall. All the little women just have women all around me and stuff. And I said, dear God. Dear God, get me out of here, Lord. So she says, I want to be prayed for. He said, we're sitting there in the cardiac center. I said, what? I said, you want a what? She said, I want to be prayed for, just like that. She's real gruffy, you know. I gruffy right back with her. I said, what are you talking about? You don't know who you're talking to. So I said, I'll pray for you. I said, Shirley, get over here. We're going to pray for her. So she said, I got one problem. I said, well, I don't want to hear all about that stuff, but I said, I'll pray for it. God knows what it is. He'll take care of it. So we started praying. We're praying in the spirit out loud. Out loud. I mean, we're praying in the spirit. And people sitting over there, nurses sitting over there looking at us and listening to us, and got real quiet in there. You know? Just let it live. Just let it go. See? You got to have a boldness. But now here comes something else as a result of all of that. Lou has a son who was a heroin addict. or could possibly still be. He's on, what is the, not morphine, but what are they? Methadone. He's addicted to methadone now. And he has a girlfriend. And we met her too. I mean, we just met the whole family down there. And so Jason, I knew Jason before. And Jason come in down there. And we're talking to him and everything. He didn't have long to stay because he had to work. But his girlfriend kept looking at me. She just looked at me. There's another one of them women looking at me strange. She was looking at me, and she was talking. Every all of her conversation was directed towards me. And I said, yeah, I'm listening to her. I knew nothing about that girl, nothing. So I said, well, nice to meet you. Glad to meet you and all this kind of stuff. And I was so tired because we had painted and been in the hospital early in the morning. And I said, Lord, I'm beat. And they left. They left. And the Lord said, you missed the opportunity right there to minister to them. You missed it. And he reminded me of that. And I said, Lord, I apologize. I said, I was tired. He said, he didn't really care. He said, you missed it. You missed it. So I told Lou, I said, Lou, I said, I was supposed to pray for them. I missed it. She said, oh, no, we can take care of that right now. We'll get them on the phone. They were on the road. It's amazing what you can do with that phone. So we got them on the phone. I said, Jason, I said, we got something to pray about with you. I said, real clear, real simple. I said, you know, the power of God is in your life. It's going to change you. And I'm telling you, I never heard such crying, sniffling. They just fell apart. Right there on the side of the road, broke down, crying and all this stuff going on. I said, what's going on over there? And I'm just praying for them. You know, everybody's praying for them, Shirley and I. And whatever happened, the power of God moved on them over the phone. So, hadn't had a chance to get back to them. But this is what I found out about her. She's a witch. She was into witchcraft. Okay? She read tarot cards. She did everything you can think of to do with witchcraft. And that's why she was looking at me. And I discerned that at one point and wasn't sure about it. Because I've been around that before. I've been around that kind of stuff. And the Lord was dealing with her and broke her down. Now you think about that. Witchcraft. Her mother was into witchcraft. So they all read tarot cards. And Ouija boards and all that stuff that you can open up your spirit man to that can actually destroy you. So why am I telling you all this? You can see by doing one act, it led to another. It led to another. It led to another. And it just kept going and kept going and kept going. So that's my testimony. Amen.
Hallelujah. And those are the works that we're talking about. Amen. Amen.
Let me give you a little bit of a backstory on that, because Steve was talking about praying for her. Shirley had mentioned sometime, maybe it was in prayer class, I'm not sure what it was, that her friend was, she had to go to Florida because her friend was having a heart catheterization and she was very scared. Well, it just so happens that I had had a heart catheterization maybe 2 or 3 weeks before. I don't remember the time frame exactly. So I was sitting here, and the Lord said, you get to Shirley and let her know that she has nothing to be afraid of concerning this catheterization. I mean, it's, you know, I wouldn't want to do it every day for sure, but it's not one of those things that's terrible. So that's the reason that I went to Shirley. Well, I almost didn't catch her. I believe she was outside. I believe she was already outside. And I talked to her and prayed for her. And I told her that the woman didn't have anything to be concerned about as far as the procedure. And so that was the reason. But here's what had happened to me before. The cardiologist that I've been going to, let's just say he was pretty concerned about my heart. I have a condition that had been there since, they say, since I was born. So, I mean, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me, except that there are symptoms from time to time. So after several years, he ordered about, I think it was four different procedures to find out what was going on with my heart. And I don't think I had gotten the results back when I prayed when I talked with Shirley. But when he got all the results back and pulled them together, and I went to see what he had found out, and he said, "For a man your age, you have a perfectly good heart."
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
And that's what Judy and I had agreed to before all of us went.
That's right.
And
Gina, by you sharing too with Shirley about that, that all works together. It all works together. Right. We are sons of God because we are led by the Spirit of God. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, you've got to do what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. What if Steve had never, you know, he could have just kept on driving. Gene could have said, "Oh, well, Shirley's in her car. I don't need to go speak to her." When we do what we're led to do, it brings about deliverance, healing, brings hope, because we're preaching the gospel. That's the gospel.
And we're not responsible for doing anything except what he tells us.
We're not, that's right.
That's up to him.
That's right. You know, it said the Lord working with them. It's the Lord working in you. It's God. You know, even Jesus said, "It's God doing the work in me." Even Jesus himself said that.
All we are is a liaison.
We're a liaison. We're a connection. We're a conduit. Anybody know what conduit is? It's God's power flowing through us and getting it to where it needs to go. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. This is what church looks like. We need to be doing that. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Because these days require it. These last days require it. We are in the, you know, and I'm going to wrap up with this. In the Revelation class, we just finished out talking about the seven letters that John wrote to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. If you've ever picked it up and read it, I haven't, I highly recommend you do it.
But he wrote seven letters to seven churches in Asia. These were seven physical churches that existed during the time of John when he was writing these letters. These letters were delivered to those seven churches. Those letters contained things that were appropriate to each of those churches. But it also contained information that we call universal truth that is applied to the church even today. And in his last letter, and it even, I can't get into that much detail. But it does point out historical church age periods throughout history. Looking back, we can actually see that first letter went to a particular church age. The second letter went to a particular church age. The last letter, the seventh letter. Anybody remember what the name of that church was? Laodicean. Guess who the Laodicean church is? It's us. That letter was written to us. And it talks about being lukewarm. It says that Christ himself said, I wish you were either hot or cold. On fire for God or completely away from God and not lukewarm. Not so-so. Not, maybe. Because what does the word say? That we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. And that's what these testimonies are about. Witnessing to the power of God that is available through our obedience. When we do what we're led by the Spirit to do, there is power there. And we don't, like Gene said, we're not responsible for it in and of ourselves. The only thing we're responsible to do is to make that contact, to be obedient. Go talk to that person. Tell them this. Okay, I'm going to go and talk to them and say this. Go lay hands on that person. Okay, I'm going to go do it. That's all you're responsible for. You're not responsible to heal that person. You're not responsible to force them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You're not responsible to make that demon flee out of them. No, you're just responsible to go and make that contact. The Lord will do the work. The Lord will do the work. So I think it's an important time we're in right now. I do. And I believe that we're going to have to become more bold in our faith. But before we can become more bold, we need to understand and be confident in our faith and who we are in Christ. And how do we get confident in who we are in Christ? We read and study His Word. We take time, set time apart to meditate and listen to the voice of God that resonates on the inside of us. Remember, it's speaking, Spirit speaking to Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit, our inner man. That witness within ourselves. These are the times we are in. These are the things that we need to be doing. So I hope that that testimony is encouraging you to you today. And that you for yourself will seek the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And that we'll all come in here. We won't be able to get through. I mean, it might fill up the whole day. People coming in giving testimonies. Remember when the 70 came back and they were so excited. And oh man, look what's happening. I mean, the demons are fleeing from us. We're healing the sick. And they were overjoyed coming back telling about all that had been done. And they had happened through them. That's how it needs to be here sometimes. I'm not saying every Sunday. But my goodness, we need to come in here with testimonies and to encourage each other and one another. I mean, how isn't it encouraged when you hear someone, you know, pray for someone and they get healed or delivered? And yes. Makes you want, doesn't it? It makes me want to go out there and start praying for people all the time. Yes. So anyways, I hope y'all received the encouragement today that you needed and that I believe God wanted to show you this morning. Because He's such a good God. He is such a good God. Amen.